Blog Talk Radio.
This is Our Common Ground. Thank you for joining us tonight for Talk That Matters. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Our Common Ground.
We hope that you are well. You're listening to Our Common Ground, and thank you for joining us tonight on December 18th. It's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful winter day and evening in New England. And how about you, Alpha? Welcome to the airwaves at Our Common Ground once again. How are things in Chi-Town?
Good evening, Janice. Things are in Chi-Town are just cold. Just not real cold, just cold. Cold enough not to be outside.
Cold enough, huh?
Just cold.
We had planned on having tonight Nina Freelong with us, but she returned on yesterday from Angola on tour, and she is not feeling really up to an interview and needed to try to find herself in the jet lag that she's experiencing, and felt that it was better that she try to do this interview at another time. And we certainly will welcome her at this time, at that time. So we're going to be moving page two all the way up, talking about President Barack Obama and how we get to reinvent him while the whole world is reinventing him under his newfound popularity after so many things are have happened this week. The Senate this morning passed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell bill. It is on its way to the president's desk on Friday. The president passed a historically memorable tax package, which included, for those of you who might not know, the old Bush tax cuts, both for the wealthy and for the middle class workers of this country. And we're going to talk a little about some of that in this first hour. In the second hour, we're going to enjoy a couple of things that I think you might enjoy listening to this evening. You know, Alpha, one of the things that I'm starting to think that in the what you call the shopping season, when things get cold and people are out doing holiday shopping, that sometimes we put away the political considerations, that somehow that game is not as good as the game of shopping and the game of season celebrating. I know that tomorrow night is my annual holiday treat, which is Handel's Messiah by the Boston Bach Chorus and Boston Symphony tomorrow night That's what I always enjoy each holiday season. What kind of things do you do up there in out there in Chicago?
Let me get this straight, Janice. What is it that you treat yourself to tomorrow?
Every year, the one thing that I must do during the holidays is the Boston Bach Orchestra. I'm sorry, chorus, and the Boston Symphony has a sing-in at Symphony Hall, where you actually go and you sing with the choir, and you sing with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the entire Handel's Messiah. So that's what I treat myself to. I don't, you know, like my daughter and her family, they go to every year because it was kind of a tradition in our house to go see the Nutcracker Suite by the Boston Ballet every year. And she loved that, even though she didn't like taking ballet. We used to have to kind of like beat her up to get her to her ballet lessons. She didn't like the ballet, but she loved the Nutcracker Suite. She never, ever got to the part where you start learning toe dancing. But she and her family, they go to the Nutcracker Suite. I go to the Handel Messiah's sing-in, where when you walk in, it's held at Boston Symphony Hall, and you walk in and they give you the sheet music in a folder.
Okay, I see.
And the entire performance, you are singing along. So, because I just absolutely think that piece of music is just wonderful. Now, I know that will confuse you.
It's a serious culture gap there. That's not confusion. It's a serious culture gap. I'm going to call it what it is. The orchestra, or chorus. No.
I love choral music. I love choral music
okay.
of all kinds.
Like I said,
if I had the time, if I thought I had the discipline and I thought I had the time, I would join a choir, or I did used to a long time ago, back in the 70s, I did used to be part of the practice orchestra for the Boston Pops Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where went to the practices and you sat in.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really interesting because when I was growing up, between the church and school, the segregated schools, there were so many performances. You had to play with the orchestra. You had to sing with the glee club. You had to sing. You had to play with the marching band. And there were parades, Christmas parades. And there was the big concert, holiday concert, that the black school had, where they would bring in, like when I was in junior high school, it was a real big deal for me to go and play during the holidays with the high school orchestra. You know, they would combine the junior high school. They would even bring the elementary school's kids who were just learning. Now, see, this really is a piece of history, Alpha, that we're talking about. That is why, you know, and they had dancing and jazz dancing and tap dancing and kids that could ballet. And it was a huge community thing that the black schools got together during the holidays and did all of these things. We had a parade. We had the big concert. So I kind of grew up singing in the glee club and singing in the school choir and playing in the school band and the school orchestra. When I went to integrate the high school, you know, I was the first black student to go to the white high school. When I went to the white high school, I actually played four different instruments.
Okay, Jenny.
And I played piano for the school senior choir.
Well, see, Janice,
those people thought I was a. I mean, they even did articles about it in the newspaper. But I grew up learning to, you know, when I was very young, like in the sixth grade, I played piano for the Sunday school.
Okay, I see. But see, in my neighborhood, we used to beat people like you up.
No, because I also knew how to get along with people.
It didn't matter whether or not you got it. We'd beat you up and be your friend tomorrow. It didn't matter. That means, you're talking serious culture gap here. You're talking hops and orchestras and Bach.
No. The bad boys in my neighborhood, they protected me.
Yeah, well, the bad boys in your neighborhood were kind of like sissies in my territory, you know?
But, you know, that's the thing. And tomorrow night I'm taking Miles and Imani, and I must have Alpho in my house. I must have at least 25 versions of Handel's Messiah on CD. And
you
from Thanksgiving
this guy,
Day.
Handel's Messiah. Who the hell is that?
Handel. He was a German composer.
Germans were krauts in my neighborhood. You know, we grew up like that. Oh, you know, Dennis, excuse my ignorance here, but.
Are you kidding me? When I was in law school, doing the Christmas holidays or special parties and stuff, I played with a quintet. And that's how we made money.
Quintet,
that's
is that
how
like
I,
five or six?
My mother could play piano, but my father could play saxophone, trumpet, and piano. He was a musician.
Well, Jesus, we just played the dozens and left it at that.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, that in small southern towns, segregated schools groomed children. And that was that's my point about the history of all. Don will tell you, if you grew up in Oklahoma City, if you grew up in Tulsa, if you grew up in Memphis, the church had ways of teaching children how to read and about music, because you sang in the church choir. So when you got to junior high school, you knew how to sing in a choir. It was all part of the culturing of black children. You know, I was looking at an article, Alpha, the other day, and we want to welcome all of you on Saturday night to Our Common Ground. For those of you who have just tuned in, Nina Freelon returned from a tour of Angola on yesterday, and she's feeling very jet-lagged. I talked to her son this afternoon, and they asked if we couldn't reschedule, and we have rescheduled for January 8th for her. She's going back out on tour with her new album, Home, again. And we're going to play some pieces from that tonight. But she was feeling like she really couldn't do an interview justice because she just returned on last evening. And I think Pierce was probably pushing it when we tried to have her on tonight. I was trying to get her on so that for those of you who enjoy jazz vocal and know Nina Freelon, the 6 Grammy Award-winning jazz vocalist, if you like a female jazz vocalist, you got to buy this album, Home Again. I received it in the mail last week, and it is just really wonderful. But, Alpha, so you don't have any holiday ritual that you go through?
No. You're talking to a little poor black boy who grew up with a single parent. It was, we were just struggling trying to make ends meet, And on one side of the room we have fine china. That's you, Janice. On the other side of the room we have a cheap paper plate. So the idea of some Christmas ritual. We tried to
Christmas ritual was did you put out stockings?
Ooh.
Christmas
stockings had holes in them. Okay? We wore them on our feet.
All right.
But everybody has their own things. For instance, we didn't put out stockings. I grew up in Florida. We didn't have stockings. I didn't know about putting stockings because we didn't. We had a fireplace, but it didn't have a mantle. So we didn't do stockings. Hey, guess what, Alpha? Guess who's in? I want you to take one guess about who's in the chat room.
I'm looking at the chat room.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You're always having problems with your computer, so I didn't know whether you could see the chat room or not. Chicago Stepper, we're glad to have you with us again tonight, my dear sister, Chicago Stepper.
He was one of the stays in a row last week. I was amazed.
I know. I really miss her. And we've also got Don, House Music Lovers in the house, and the Voxor. And I was able to catch the Voxor show at 6 p.m. Thank you, ma'am, for a very good presentation of The Audacity of Hope by President Barack Obama. We're going to be talking about him tonight. We want you to know that you can call with your own, this is live, and call in. We're going to be talking about reinventing this president. It's interesting that the whole world is starting to reinvent him. Alpha, are you getting that feeling they're trying to reinvent who he is?
No.
With this?
No, I don't think he's trying to reinvent who he is. I think he's really caught up in a situation that he is a novice to. He's caught up in a situation where, he's afraid to really be himself, and really he's afraid to get angry or be angry. He doesn't feel that he can afford to resist. But that's why I'm certain he is not of the Chicago ilk. He's not cut from that same cloth of, standing up and politically fighting. He doesn't see it as it's not personal to him, and it should be personal to him because they've made it personal. They've made it deeply personal, and he just seems to not get it because if he were from the Chicago political machine, right now when he signed this tax deal, he'd have cold cocked somebody. He'd hit him right in the mouth. Because that's the bottom line. Look at what they've done. And, this hostage taking, this hostage holding. Now they're not going to sign the Stark Treaty because Harry Reid brought Don't Ask, Don't Tell to the floor. Not that they got it okay. He even had the threat was, don't you even bring it up, boy, or we'll walk away from the start. And like I said earlier today, how about this? How about Russia cutting off our supply route to the troops in Afghanistan if the treaty is not ratified? How about that? Does that bring it into any type of context? And even if it's not true, that's what I would tell them. That's what I would tell the country. And I would tell Russia, just hold, keep your powder dry. Let me handle this. And I would
Where are the Cold War hawks nowadays?
Well, all of that is gone. I mean, all of that doesn't matter now. This is a different, to me, this is a different scenario. The ideas are all the same. The end game is all the same, except for one thing. There's a black man involved. And and when I say it's a black man involved, I'm saying exactly that. You know, when people kill me when they talk about, oh, it's always about race. You damn right it's always about race, because it's always about race. They talk about race cards. Well, the deck is race, so the deal is race. So it's always about race.
Well, you know, there are two interesting things that interest me about the political gamesmanship that is going around. Today, the Senate acted to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yesterday and the day before, there were many Democrats, Blue Dog Democrats, Republicans, who were behaving as though the same people that were pushing back on this tax compromise, they were knocking themselves out to vote for the same compromise. If you look at who wasn't on the floor of the Senate today, and who was missing in action on yesterday, it's very interesting. I don't know how many of you checked out the fact that Boehner didn't show up for the signing of the bill. Nancy Pelosi didn't show up for the signing of the bill. I have never seen such public display of disregard and disrespect for the presidency as I have seen with this president. But they got what they got. They got everything they needed. But what people don't understand, what black people don't understand, is this tax cut and deficit reduction bill. And how it affects us. You know, I was looking at some information, and we have to be wary of the Deficit Reduction Commission's proposal to fix Social Security, because there is going to certainly be an impact on us. There are negative consequences associated with this approach that this commission and that this bill is going to take us into. And it's been explained, but I don't think people are listening. The package's payroll tax holiday provision really is a booby trap for middle and working class Americans, but especially people of color. This is what it will do. It offers Americans a 2% reduction in payroll taxes for the next 2 years. And that is seemingly innocuous until you understand that the payroll tax is the only source of dedicated revenue for Social Security. Therefore, you see, a holiday from paying this tax would undercut the program's financing while strengthening the argument of critics who cite Social Security's long-term financial challenges as a reason for cutting or eliminating the program, and the worst scenario, privatizing it. So here we are in a situation where we're weakening Social Security, and it is going to devastate communities of color because black people, Hispanic people, Latino people are heavily reliant on Social Security's retirement, disability, and survivor's benefits. And I think we don't understand this.
Well, I'm sure they don't understand it. But here's, you know, they talk about this tax holiday, and we're gonna lower that contribution to Social Security for 1 year, and it'll come out of the general fund. Well, now next year they'll be decrying, oh, he's gonna raise our taxes. So then they will extend it. And you know it's not going to happen in 2012 because, oh, he's going to raise our taxes, and it's going to come out of the general fund. Now, what that does is put the funding of Social Security in the hands of Congress. And once you move that responsibility and that funding to a source, a funding source that is upholding to what the Congress votes on and how they manipulate it, you will totally undermine Social Security as they know it. If we didn't get people who get Social Security or Social Security disability, they got no cost of living allowance, COLA. And I don't suspect they're going to get one in the future either. But we could give $731 billion in tax cuts for the rich. Now, someone brought it up that $731 billion will employ 15 million people at over $30,000 a year. So what are we doing? We're giving money to people who don't need it. And the president has come down he's very obvious as to he's against this. Oh, but we had to take something to get something. You know, this either-or approach, when you have massive majorities, not a supermajority, but massive majority, and it just it bewilders me that they did not see down the road that they should have changed the Senate rules on the filibuster when this Senate started. And they just walked blindly into this.
Well, it's no secret that black people have received the short end of the stick when it comes to U.S. fiscal policies and practices. But my position is that the cumulative 1-2 punch of the tax cuts that were just passed and looming deficit reductions, along with expected generational impact on those who can least afford to shoulder the cost, amounts to a form of, as far as I'm concerned, fiscal racism that is without parallel in the modern era. Without parallel.
Well, they don't vote anyway, Janice.
Well,
they're going to get the least and the last. And that's
How many times today, Alpha, I have to tell you that when black people have something to come out for, they come out for it.
And that's their downfall. It's not that I didn't get it or didn't understand it, but that's the bottom line. And until they wake up and understand that each and every battle is just that, a battle, they can never win the war. And the people that should be listening aren't listening. And the people that should be voting aren't voting. I don't forget about the motive. Or what does it take? What does it take for a people to respond and to wake up to a fact that if you're not feared in politics, then you are not respected. And that's the bottom line. That's what it's come down to. I understand the parts about motivation. I understand the part about, you know, people in their daily lives and their daily grinds, and they don't care about the things. You asked me when Don't Ask, Don't Tell came about. When Don't Ask, Don't Tell came about in 93, that's the last thing that was on my mind. And you're absolutely right. I gave a damn one way or the other. A, I wasn't in the service. B, I'm not gay. So, kick rocks.
Well, let me ask you another question. It's on the issue of 911 responders, first responders. It's on the issue of the DREAM Act for immigrants. Why was that not part of President Obama's compromise?
The same reason that the federal tax freeze, the freeze on federal employees wasn't. Why didn't he gave that up the day before he went into this meeting. He just gave that up.
Go ahead.
Why couldn't you just use that as the leverage? And, I mean, that could have been a bargaining chip. But no, he gave it up. He gives up everything before the battle, before negotiations start. He gives in. And that is my criticism of him, his inability or his unwillingness. When he wanted this tax plan, what did he do, Janice? He sent out surrogates. He sent people to the cameras and to the microphones to get his point across. He confronted the people on the left, the progressives, the people. He sent Biden to the Democratic House caucus and told them, this is what it's going to be, take it or leave it. And since you fought for that, he should have fought for single payer and public option. And then he has the gall, the nerve to say, this is just like public option. Well, no, it's not like public option. You gave up single payer, so therefore you had nothing to bargain with. You could have settled for public option, but he didn't fight. He gave that up before the fight began. And that's why his base is fractured. He may very well get reelected, but it's going to be close. And it's not going to be close because he has so much overwhelming support. It's going to be close because of the incompetence of his competition. The people who will be challenging him or the person who will be left standing will be so inadequate that he could very well simply be ushered in as this guy's doing, he's bad, we got a problem with him, but okay, hold your nose and vote for him. That's the bottom line.
Well, isn't the bottom line really get reelected?
The bottom line is getting reelected.
Yes.
But like I said, it's going to be close. And it doesn't have to be close. He is his own worst enemy. Most of his wounds are self-inflicted.
And that wall that he's... I don't think people are ready for what's going to happen here.
They're not. They're not. Just like they're not worth. They were not ready for just the intense obstruction, just the willingness to destroy a middle class of this nation, to allow people to fall through the cracks with unemployment, to allow the corporations to continue to outsource the jobs and vote down incentive packages to bring jobs back to this country. People weren't ready for just the un-American, unpatriotic act of Republicans. You know, you had people, I saw an article with Shepard Smith, and he was talking about the denial of the health care for 9/11 responders. You know, he described it, Congress didn't do this. Congress didn't do that. Hell no. It's the Republicans. And that's what people, that's the narrative that is framed. It's Congress. No, it's the Republicans. Just like Corker said, if you bring up Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we'll walk away from start. Just like they said, we will walk away from the omnibus bill unless we get spending cuts. That's your next hostage. They're going to already walk away from start. That's why I brought up Russia shutting off the roadway to for supplies for the troops in Afghanistan. They should simply shut it off. If you're not going to ratify the START Treaty, you cannot use our roadways to support your war in Afghanistan. How about that? And how about the Republicans? It's not the Democrats. It's the Republicans. They run. We may have a black president. We may have a majority of in the House and in the Senate, but it's the Republicans that have run this country for the last 2 years because of weakness and just bad planning, mismanagement, political mismanagement. Yeah, this president got a lot done. He got health care, a Republican, weak Republican health care bill, but he got it in. He got something. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of whatever the hell that was.
Well,
look at
I'm
how they're attacking. And that was predicted. Someone said that what he will get will be so watered down that they can effectively attack it, successfully attack it. And that's what they're doing. The same with the banking reform. They're able to attack it because it's so weak. And on, he continues to fracture his base. He continues to run away and not dance with them that brung him. And
well,
there
maybe,
we have the midterms.
Well, it's clear that Americans are very short-sighted, and it's clear that a failure to pass this bill would have resulted in tax hikes for most Americans. What I resent is that he didn't ask. Are we willing, as Americans, as part of his base, are we willing to take the shot?
But Janet,
the other thing I wanted.
Why didn't he simply let the tax cuts expire? Go to the IRS as president and say, hold the tax rate the same for the people, 250,000 or less. That's all he had to do. And cut the deal to make the tax cuts retroactive. Now, the Bush tax cuts would have expired. They could have never gotten them in for the rich. And either you make that move, and then at that point in time, it's at the feet of the Republicans. This is not some Arcanian. This is not some Einstein strategy. The hell, if everybody knows what his authority, he had the authority to do that, and he didn't do it.
Well,
let those tax cuts expire and give a directive to the IRS.
But
those
I don't think he's operating
that huge tax increase. That fear mongering that was done to paint him into a corner. This is ridiculous.
Call the office and help me talk Alpha down. Our number is 347-838-9852 because, you know, he's about, Alpha, you're about to put a real damper on America's Christmas holiday because everybody's happy but you.
No. I got a cold in my stocking a long time ago, okay? Somebody peed in my cereal 2 weeks ago. All right, and this is not about whether I'm going to spoil somebody's Christmas.
It's the same thing that happened to Bill Clinton in his first term.
Yes,
they
Janice. NAFTA hadn't been approved, and he had outs.
They beat him into a dander, and he became a Republican sitting in a Democratic seat in White House.
Exactly. Because the things that he went for and the things that he caved in on worked for him. He had plenty of help with them shutting down the government. With Gingrich in the House shut down the government, that turned the people against them. This president doesn't need to try to turn the people against the Republicans. The Republicans are doing a great job themselves.
Well, it sure was a new style of compromise. It was certainly a new low in how you strategize politically. Because, as I said to you either yesterday or the day before or whenever I said it, is that he could have turned at least the Massachusetts Republican into his bitch. Because he could have said, hey, you guys, if these things don't get turned around and if you don't agree, here's the list of six things. Dream Act, don't ask, don't tell, tax cuts for the rich, estate tax staying in existence and not being peeled back to 7 years ago rate. If I don't get these things, I will be in your district every damn week. Until the people who elect you understand how you are screwing them. Now, I know that would have worked in Massachusetts. Scott Brown would have no way of ever seeing the inside of the chambers of the Senate on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the tax cuts.
Well, Scott Brown voted for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Number two,
do you know why?
Because the pressure was on, because he knew damn well that was something that he couldn't resist.
He's still going to pay the price for what he's doing in regard to the tax cuts. He's still going to pay the price. Hey, you know what I wanted to ask you, Alpha? Are you familiar with any of the black Marvel comic heroes?
Oh, you talking about comic
books? Yeah.
No.
You didn't read comic books when you were.
No. Comic books?
Yeah.
No.
Like the Super Soldiers?
Oh,
Isaiah Bradley?
Sister Soldier?
Isaiah Bradley.
Sister Soldier?
Isaiah Bradley was a comic book hero, black comic book hero. You don't know any of these people?
I didn't read the white comic book heroes.
I'm telling you the black comic book heroes.
I'm telling you I didn't read either one.
You don't know about Spawn?
Just what I saw in the movie. And
you don't know that he was a necroplasm? His plasm granted him superhuman strength and speed and agility and senses and durability and endurance. And he had a regenerative healing factor power. He wore a suit of armor. The character's name is Spawn.
Yes,
but,
I saw the movie. I sat through the movie.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
But his real name was Al Simmons, and he was a CIA agent assassin. But he had a good heart. And once, when he was on a mission, he was double crossed by his boss and sent straight to hell for his occupation. And that made making a deal with the devil to become Spawn. You don't know about that? Anybody
like
in the chat room know anything about that? Anybody, any of you out there familiar
with... I did see the movie, and that's the only reference I can make to Spawn.
See,
well,
Stein's in our chat room. Stein's knows exactly what I'm talking about. There are a number of black superheroes. Spawn was one of them. Isaiah Bradley. Then you had Luke Cage. He was superhero. He began in Harlem. He was a gang member in his community, and he was sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit. And when a prison doctor conducted illegal experiments, his life was changed. His skin was impervious to bullets and superhuman strength. And he escaped from prison. And he cleared his name and later became the Avenger. You don't know about that?
Oh, hell no.
These are Marvel comics.
Marvel, Janet.
Do you know about... Do you know about John Henry Iron Steel? John Henry Irons?
No.
He was a weapons developer whose company began to start selling his designs to local street gangs illegally. So to combat the corruption, he created a powered armored suit to destroy his former company. And at one point claimed to be Superman. John Henry Iron Steel. You got to catch up on these things. Am I right, Steins? I know that I'm right. There are many, many black superheroes in comic books. There were no superheroes when President Barack Obama and I were growing up. But I caught up, and he didn't. And that's the difference. We're gonna our number is, if you'd like to join us in this conversation. did you all see Alpha, you got awfully quiet. Our number is 347-838-9852. You're listening to Our Common Ground. We're trying to reinvent our president. And that's why I started. I could see you back there sitting and saying, what the hell is she talking about?
Not in those words, because, however.
Because tonight we're trying to look at how can we reinvent this president so that he can be the symbol of hope and change. Because somehow he has lost his armor, he's not getting his injections, something is going on. And I'm not getting what I was thinking about the superheroes in the comic books, because I'm saying, well, you know, There are many superheroes that you have to have an injection. You know, you have to have an injection, or you have to take some kind of chemical to keep you going in your superhero status. And I'm just trying to figure out what in the world has happened to President Barack Obama, the superhero of hope and change. And yes, we can. Because if you pull a political stunt as sophomoric as what he did 10 days ago with this tax compromise, you know that he has lost all of his power. You know that, right? Our number is 347-838-9852. You're listening to Our Common Ground. We're going to go right to our phones. 917, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for calling. 917?
Hello, though. Do you guys really support Obama? All right, now, what do you want Obama to be more like, I should say?
What would we like Obama to be more like? Alpha?
Yes.
Talk to this caller.
Well, it's not so much what I would like for him to be more like. I would simply like for him to stand up. When I say stand up, I simply mean he has choices. He has alternatives to what he is doing. And, for instance, you know, I think I've laid him out pretty well. Instead of cutting a tax deal, he could have very well allowed those to expire. Went to the IRS, like I said.
Come on now. The Bush tax cuts would happen with him or without him. He knows he has to go along with it because he's on a sinking ship. But apparently you guys... Apparently, you left-wing clowns can't understand that.
Well, you say sinking ship. Explain that sinking ship
to
me.
Did you call me a clown? Oh, no, you didn't.
All right, let me explain a sinking ship. Let me explain the sinking ship thing. The Republicans won the House of Representatives, and Obama knows that he has to go along with it or else he's going to be on the sinking ship or else he's just going to be done because he has no choice, although the Democrats put him to stupid pork. That's what I mean.
And that's what you mean by
there.
Sinking ship.
He has to go along. He has no choice or else he's going to be done for if he doesn't go along with it. For one thing, haven't you noted that the Republicans won the House of Representatives? Do you liberals get right up to the day? Are you still living back in the time when Bush was unpopular? Do you get right back up to current events? Do liberals know how to think straight?
Well, sir,
who are you calling a liberal?
I'm
calling you both are liberals.
You obviously have stepped out of some type of time warp, like as though this ship started sinking 2 years ago.
Don't bring up George Bush.
Years.
We're sick and tired of it.
Sick rocks.
We're sick and tired of bringing up George Bush. Obama is on a sinking ship.
Bush
he has to go along with the
George
tax
Bush
cuts.
Sunk the
and
ship.
And the Republicans will institute the tax cuts with Obama or without him. When will you figure that out?
George Bush is the reason the ship is sinking. You're talking about blame George
God.
Bush?
Don't
Who's
blame,
blame
don't
Hitler.
Bring Bush into this.
Hitler did it.
You know what?
Hitler
don't
killed millions of Jews. You don't
bring
blame
Bush
Hitler.
Into this. You
Bush
two have
it.
The intelligence below that of horse poop. Good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
And the lady said, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. I think... let's play a little... Louis Farrakhan is in need. We are in need.
one of the greatest revolutionaries of our time. He had 1 billion people to convert to his idea. What did he do? He saw the value
of
the cultural community. So he took it.
Alpha, we're stinking liberals. Now, are you a liberal, Alpha?
I'm a liberal, progressive, far left, close to the center, whatever that clown wants me to be. You know, those are the types of people that can't see the forest for the trees. They continue. Obama had no choice. The ship is sinking. Well, what about that doo-doo smoothie that he walked into that was on the Oval Office desk that was left by a damn Republican? What about those, where you're not American enough, you're against the troops, and the only thing a Republican has been is against the troops for the last 2 years and against America for the last 2 years, and this clown calls up here with that, we don't get it. He had to do it. He didn't have to do a damn thing. Oh, like I said, all he had to do was go to the IRS and hold the tax cuts for the people under $250,000 and let them fight amongst themselves.
Well, you know, the bottom line for me is this. Don't pass tax cuts for the rich and then tell me about deficits.
Or better yet, don't pass tax cuts for the rich and say you had to save the unemployed and you leave out the 99ers. I mean,
so,
what part of this is unclear?
There are already signs of the start of the next fight, and the big fight is when the debt ceiling has to be raised and they can hold the country and world's economy hostage to their demands. Don't tell me that since when does a ex-president get to simply isolate himself from his performance in office? They're still talking about Bill Clinton getting a blowjob in the White House, in the Oval Office. So why shouldn't we be talking about George Bush flushing this country down the toilet?
Oh, because it's all blame. Oh, you're still blaming Bush. Well, he did it. They still blame Hitler. They still blame Charlie Manson. They still blame Bernie Madoff. If you did it, you did it. 42,000 factories have closed since the year 2000. Bush did it. His policies did it.
And it wasn't just
the bottom line. With the help of
it was
Bill
Bush dealing with a fantasy that he had about what he was doing and who he was. And I just, you know, I'm simply saying that giving in to hostage takers has only solidified the kind of hostage taking as a successful tactic. For example, Thursday night, even while the White House was capitulating to the last hostage taking, Republicans again used the tactic to kill the omnibus spending bill, which is a whole nother problem. If they win every time, why would they stop using the tactic? And that is what this president has got to consider. Again and again, he is rewarding them for obstruction. Republicans take new hostages. Essentially, they say again and again, agree to our demands or we will blow everything up. Again and again, the president and the Democrats cave. Rinse and repeat. I think we should take a break.
Maybe that idiot is going... all that.
No, I just kicked him out of the chat room. Played a little Farrakhan and then kicked him out. We thank you for being here with us at Our Common Ground. Our number is 347-838-9852. We essentially have open mic tonight if you'd like to give us a call and talk about some things. And I wanted to also tell you that, Alpha, I know this will get you. Alvin Green, remember the guy that ran for the Senate from South Carolina?
No, I don't know him. I campaigned everywhere.
Democrat Alvin Green, who lost so badly to Senator Jim DeMint.
He's gonna run for
and
president.
He and he probably you might let me give you an example. Let me give you a clue. You probably remember him for running one of the strangest campaigns in recent memories. Well, and he was one of the most unexpected candidates in modern history, and he didn't campaign until after the primary, and he did very limited campaigning at the time, and he was snubbed by the South Carolina Democratic Party. He was not invited to their celebration party on election night, but he insisted that he wasn't at all unhappy because his party was going to be bigger, around 200 people. You remember him? Well, while we're talking about superheroes, he has now published his own comic book about himself. This is Our Common Ground. And this is Nina Freelon, who will be with us on January 8th. Our Common Ground, Saturday night open mic with my co-host, Alpho of the Alpho Show. Please check out our other broadcast products at TruthWorks Network. TruthWorks Network is the Black University on the air at Blog Talk Radio. We provide the best of ideas, explanations, exploration, scholarship, and speeches, interviews, and audio documentaries. TruthWorks Network and Our Common Ground. We know what to do with radio.
I want to know why I'm fine one minute and the next my body aches so bad I can't move.
I want to know why my hair is falling out. I'm only 17.
I'm tired all the time. Now this rash. I just want to know what's going on.
When you don't have the right answers, it may be time to ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Much for being with us here at Our Common Ground. Our number is 347-838-9852. So, Alpho, before we went on break, I was explaining to you about Alvin Green's new comic book. What do you think about that?
I don't have nothing to say about that.
I am rendering you speechless tonight.
Not really.
Also,
not really. Who said that? That's just what he sounded like. That's just what he sounds like. The man has got about as much articulation as a damn handball.
What are we to do? What are we to do? Thank you so much for being with us here on Saturday night, open mic at Our Common Ground. If you'd like to join our chatters in our chat room, we're at blogtalkradio.com/OCG. And they're giving out flowers. O'Henry's in the room, and he's giving out cheap Blog Talk flowers.
No, I'm not O'Henry.
Chicago Stepper.
No, I'm not O'Henry.
You know, this kind of stuff goes on all the time. I have, as the host of this show, I have no control. You're absolutely right, Steins. It was Santana, one of my favorites. You know, Alpha doing the Kwanzaa and Christmas holidays. I think I spend more time with my music than in any other time of the year. I mean, I am constantly checking what my, I'm like the house DJ. One of the things I do want to recommend to you all is Nina Freeland's Home Again CD, her new CD. And also, every year, I recommend to every black family that you ought to have a holiday celebration by Quincy Jones. Now, I know you're not going to like this, Alpha, but I know you love me, so you're going to bear with me. Quincy Jones' A Joyful Celebration is actually a rewrite of Handel's Messiah using gospel, reggae, blues, hip-hop, and rhythm and blues genres to rewrite the music. I mean, you got to understand how Quincy Jones is such a genius to undertake such a project. And I'm going to ask our Dean of Research, Doc Don, if during this broadcast he will go on Amazon.com and look for A Joyful Celebration by Quincy Jones and post a link to that CD. No black family should be without it. Alpha, I even think that for Kwanzaa, I'm going to send you a copy. I'm going to send you a copy and 3 Octavia Butler books.
What?
and buy you a subscription to the New Yorker.
What? You made me stop eating my popcorn.
Our number tonight is 347-838-9852, and we are really inviting you to come and talk with us about how we reinvent our president. How do we even begin to get his attention? I mean, this week he thinks he's on a roll. He thinks he's on a win.
Oh, he's on the win for Republicans.
Well, he thinks that's a win for us all.
You know, Janice, I told you earlier this week, I heard a caller into a progressive radio station, and their question was, has there ever been a president to change parties while he's in office?
Yeah, Bill Clinton. And that's what they don't understand. Bill Clinton ran a Republican In order to survive, Bill Clinton ran a Republican administration. But here's the point. If President Obama were not black, and if his supporters had not been busy getting drunk in a wishing well, he would have been widely recognized as a stylistically updated Reagan Democrat. He's a blue dog. And it's amazing how many people on the left are just now discovering the Obama that has always been, the corporate politician, with, even if you look at his record both in Chicago, both in the Illinois House, if you look at his record as a senator, I think people, this is the point where people got confused about this man. The point is that he was the one who stood up and against the war. He was the one that stood up against the war. So they read him as a liberal progressive.
Janice.
When he started talking about universal health care,
He ran as a progressive conservative. Single payer
is not progressive left. Universal health care is progressive left. And that's what these people are not understanding. That's what these progressives, that's what these so-called lefties are not understanding, that what they were promulgating, what they were advocating, it was about them rather than the working poor in this country. A left progressive agenda is about people who cannot help themselves. Now, that's how I see it.
I do understand.
Do you see any so-called left progressives advocating for justice and what is right in a democratic society for immigrants? Illegal immigrants. Hell, legal immigrants can take care of themselves.
Well, I'd be 100% honest with you. The illegal immigration problem is just that. It's an illegal immigration problem. It didn't just start 2 years ago. This was Ronald Reagan's amnesty fallout from 86. When he gave amnesty to illegal immigrants, they simply did it again.
Well, you know, the thing is that you got to look at corporate politicians. They generally, you know, one of the things I really have an appreciation for this president is that pure corporate politicians, I'm talking about the Jim DeMint's and the Mitch McConnell's and many of the Democrats, I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi, I'm talking about a whole bunch of them in the Democratic Party and the Democratic leadership. I'm even talking about some of those nitwits in the Black Caucus. They are corporate politicians with contempt for real progressive thought and a very bad opinion of black people. I mean, I was listening to an interview. Alpha, you know, okay, I'll use every broadcaster's thing. We're going to keep it real raw right now, according to India Declare, and we're going to keep it real according to Reverend Al Sharpton. We have been standing by and allowing people to tell us, because they give us a crumb from a slice of bread or from a loaf of bread, that is progressive. Progressive is talking specifically to the issue. You know, if I was the president of the United States and I wanted to label myself as a progressive, if I wanted to label myself as a person, as a president who was on the cusp of the leadership for justice in this country, the Scott sisters would not be sitting in jail. They would not.
He gave out a lot of pardons, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave pardons to people. Every person that he gave, you know, and I'm not, this is not to say that I would not vote for Barack Obama in 2012. This is not to say that Barack Obama is my brother. And of all the people who they would let into the White House, you notice I said, of all the people who they would let in the White House, I would rather for it to be him than John Boehner, than Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, John McCain, and Hillary Clinton. Because if we think we're in a lot of pain this week, if Hillary Clinton had become president, we'd really be in a lot of pain, because there is nothing like an arrogant white woman with power. An elitist. But I keep telling y'all, I keep trying to tell y'all, this man is trying to explain to them, he's trying to demonstrate to them that he's just as good as them, that he's part of the team. He's part of the posse. He's a member of the posse. Please let me be a member of the Oh, please, 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 please let me be a member of the posse so that you all will think I am worthy. Because in his eyes, see, as my father would say, I don't understand why you just can't be enamored by somebody. I'm enamored by somebody, but most of them are dead. So I have to deal with the hand I've been dealt. You got that, Alpha? So here is a man who's looking at these people and saying, oh, my gosh, I am so like you. Aren't I special? Am I right, Dr. Don? Our number to join us in this conversation is 347-838-9852. And you can call up and lend your opinions here. But I think we've got to stop coddling how we think about him. And if we want to save him from himself, we've got to show him how he can reinvent himself. Right, O'Henry?
Like he's listening. You know, Janice.
And yeah. I say to Mr. President, you know, you need to have, he needs to have another one of those Philadelphia moments. You know when he did the race talk in Philadelphia,
no,
because he was about to throw Reverend Jeremiah Wright under the bus?
Well, he was throwing him under the bus, and Reverend Wright was climbing under the bus all at the same time.
Oh,
Reverend
don't
Wright
start
was,
that tonight,
oh.
Alpha, because you know what? I'm not fighting that. If you look at the difference between, I mean, I'm going to tell you again, Alpha. And I hope I don't have to meet you at O'Hare on Monday morning so I don't have to come out the gate and I can tell you again. Jeremiah Wright took his dignity off his chest and gave this man a part of his path to the White House.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Jeremiah Wright was wrong. He just made it very easy for Barack Obama to separate himself from. You know, when he went
to the
NAACP.
He did it very deliberately. So don't come with me about how Jeremiah Wright threw himself under the bus. He ain't throwing himself under the bus. You just said last week. I remember you saying it. You said, I'm sitting with Jeremiah Wright. God damn America. That's what you said.
No, Janice. I've always said that. Jeremiah Wright was not wrong. There's nothing he said that was wrong. This was just the loop that was played. Jeremiah Wright was successfully vilified, successfully excoriated by the right. Like I said, goddamn America. This isn't the way Jeremiah Wright feels. I feel the same way. But Barack Obama, in this Philadelphia speech, Jeremiah Wright gave him the nod, go ahead, throw me under the bus. Period. So when I say he partially climbed under the bus, he did. Obama just finished the task. He gave Jeremiah Wright gave him the nod to go ahead and distance yourself from me.
That's right. He gave him the opportunity because there was no winning there.
Right.
I don't know why our phones are so quiet tonight. Do you all think that we had a victory this week? I think not. Because I still say the so-called self-proclaimed progressives in this country have passed the point of disenchantment with President Barack Obama, and they have entered into a stage of active anger at what they once imagined was their ally.
They feel betrayed. Now
let me say
this. People rant about a progressive like Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz is not against Barack Obama. Ed Schultz will still support Barack Obama. But Ed Schultz is not going to sit back and allow what he is doing to go unchallenged. What he is doing is simply caving. And the progressives, at a rate of 15 to 1, are simply leaving. And people don't come to understand. You know, I am nowhere near as angry as I was 2 weeks ago. Nowhere near. And when he offers up these paper tigers of, I couldn't let the unemployed get hurt. Well, you're not doing a damn thing for the 99ers. You froze in federal pay. You could have had that chip in there. You could have included the 99ers in this deal. Because that would have been even a bigger stimulus package. He's always aiming low and getting less.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there. He aims low. But that is so elementary. I mean, everybody sitting in our chat room, everybody's listening to us tonight, knows that if you're going to bargain, you start way above what you want, and you bargain down to what to what to the reality of what you want. And I don't get this man gets this. I mean, we're talking about we have this great stimulus. There's no stimulus for people who continue to open the magic trick envelopes that banks are sending them on foreclosures. And the other thing that, you know, we have to be really worried about, and not just people who are getting their houses foreclosed on, we've got to be concerned about investors who hold mortgage securities, because that's another point of a whole second set of recession that's coming our way. So people who, there's still no relief package for people who have been foreclosed on. There's no relief package. You know, the thing I said, and I will continue to say it, Alpha, is that to break the back of this corporate takeover, you start dealing with tax cuts for overseas operations. And Don is asking a very pertinent question.
He's absolutely
Has this
right.
president's attempts at appeasement stopped Sarah Palin? Stopped his cool detachment, as Don described it, stopped Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh? And I don't care how many times Reverend Al Sharpton meets with the FCC has done nothing about the racist ranting that goes on the public airways, and they won't do anything about it. Because you've got a Justice Department that is not moving on housing discrimination, employment discrimination, violation of civil rights of both legal and illegal immigrants, because, you know, people have to understand that even illegal immigrants have civil rights. We have one of the worst human rights records in the world with all of the people of, for, like China, North Korea, Russia, in regard to how we treat prisoners in our penal and justice system and inside the institutions. Who do we think we are? I know I'm taking you all over the place tonight, Alpha. You can correct me.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, this is a nation of cowards when it comes to speaking about race, as he said. But what he left out was that he's a department, a DOJ of a coward. Because, I mean, let's face it, look at everything he skipped. Look at everything he skipped. Tom DeLay, he didn't prosecute Tom DeLay. He didn't go after the war criminals. He didn't go after the outing of a CIA agent. But WikiLeaks is so bad. They're putting in danger our fighting soldiers over there. But Bush didn't do that. Bush didn't start the illegal war with lies. Give me a break. Rick Holder is not a attorney general that I thought he would be. I thought at least he would have some fidelity to the law. And he doesn't. This thing about Blackwater and the way the Department of Justice purposely messed that up so that you couldn't prosecute these war criminals. They have stacked the courts with their judges. They control the riches that buy off the politicians and the special interests.
Well, there is no question in my mind that the progressive lawmakers, including Bernie Sanders, cannot remember where they left their spines, that Obama is now in his element where he can maneuver among fellow rightists, Democrats, and Republican Neanderthals seeking the bipartisan nirvana that he so craves. But there are also some things that are certain, and I think the American people, especially in the black community, we need to now be considering. Because this kind of political sophomoric maneuvering is taking our government to the brink of gridlock come January 1st, since this president is so eager to spare the party of no, the necessity. You know, I listened to CBC chairperson Barbara Lee last week, and she was doing the talk show circuit, and she was saying she doesn't know how this will play out when the House votes roll around. This was before yesterday and Thursday night and today. How can she be the chairperson of the CBC and not have an understanding of how this is gonna play out? You know, the C-SPAN covered Bobby Scott announcing an overwhelming majority of the caucus opposed the Obama GOP tax cuts for the rich. But there was no response. Jesse, Representative from your hometown, Jesse Jackson Jr., in his statement, he was talking about how the tax cuts were reckless. These people saw this stuff coming last summer.
Yes.
And there were things that were clear and certain last summer. The ever-quickening pace of finance capitals unraveling, creating multiple overlapping crises. Because just of what you just said, Wall Street wields decisive power over the political process, and that's where we are. That's exactly where we are. We've got a call. We've got a couple calls on the board. 773, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Janice. Alpha, what's going on? This is
House. House Music Lover, thanks for joining us tonight.
How are you? How you doing, House? I'm cold just like you in this frigid city. I'm kind of one of those people that you talked about a few minutes ago that's frustrated, not checked out, you know, still paying attention, active in my own way, but definitely
frustrated. Wait a minute,
House.
Hmm? What do you want? You're right now, you're not as angry as you were 4 or 5 days ago, are you?
Oh no, I'm still pissed, but you know, I have I guess rationalized it a little bit.
Exactly.
Not
as angry as you were,
but only because it's signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, these folks did what they were gonna do, and he did what he was gonna do, and he's ready to take credit for it, and you know, even try and run on it in 2012 if he has to. And all of these different talk show hosts, you know, Sharpton, Rhodes, just a whole bunch of people I, you know, listen to and usually agree with, you know, all hopped on board too. And it baffles me. And I heard all these different, mostly black folks, call and say that anybody who doesn't support him, especially if they're black, you know, were never supporters of him to begin with, which is patently false. And, you know, even at worst, Republican. I'm like, these people are like just sheep being led to slaughter. and to hear Sharpton jump on a couple people this week for having the audacity to say that he could have done something different just baffles me. Even Andre subbed in for Sharpton the last couple of weeks, and even he's on board. And I'm like, there's like no...
I'm not surprised. Why are you surprised by that, House? Why are you surprised
by
that?
Because there's like no trepidation. There's like, this is where we have to. We got to drive into this wall and speed up. Hit the gas. We need to drive full force into this wall. And you know, take your seatbelts off. Don't worry. The airbags are safe. No. And no, nobody has a thing to say. That's what's baffling me.
Let me ask you a question, House, and then you can move on because I'm just interested in this. Last year, on December 18th, we knew that on December 30th, 2010, the Bush tax cuts would either expire or they would be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of those people that you mentioned ever talked about it. They never protested about it. And so I'm not getting where you are surprised that they're going along to get along on this.
Excuse me. Well, maybe it's because the indication was all along was that they were going to let they were going to expire, and the president was going to let that happen. And nobody could foresee, not my little self, could foresee how anybody would be able to, quote-unquote, twist his arm to get him not to do it. And the only thought I personally had opposite of that was just paying attention to the things that he's done since he's been in office and saying that, well, you know, worst case scenario, if he really turns out to be who he's turned out to be, then this is what he would do, but not really, you know, wanting to, I don't know, face the reality of who he is. You know, you explained it basically really, really well today. And I think it's just a lot of people that don't still, like you said, don't want to face, you know, who he is, what his background is and what his philosophy is. And what did you just say? I think I'm going to have to use that, the Nirvana. He finds him compromised. I'm borrowing that. I'm letting you know.
Bipartisan Nirvana.
Bipartisan Nirvana. I'm borrowing that, all right? I'm going to have to update somebody's Facebook status with that. that's a good one. But this, it's just baffling, man. It's like nobody gets it. And when you start to try and bring up the unraveling of Social Security with that 2% decrease, you know, nobody's afraid of that. Oh, and you see that if you – he actually had to have the law rewritten, and everybody had to sign their names on it, and he has to sign his name. So just like it went from the Bush wars to the Obama wars, went from the Bush
mm-hmm.
tax cuts to the Obama tax cuts. This is in
mm-hmm.
forever.
I mean, but, you know, if you think about, excuse me for interrupting you, but if you think about Social Security in the way in which black people experience Social Security, you understand
mm-hmm.
it. I just happen to be fortunate enough to have two families, one poor and one upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, who is still living, my biological mother, no one paid Social Security taxes for her until, you ready for this? 1970.
Hmm.
And she worked every day of her life.
Wow.
Since the time she was 16.
Hmm.
And we know that we have an economic infrastructure in our community where many times black people are working a lifetime
mm-hmm.
being paid under the table.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we have to go beg, borrow, and steal to get them into the Social Security system at the time that they are of the age, it ain't much in their account.
No.
So it will keep black people poor. Whereas, you know, I mean, we gotta start thinking about some of this stuff. Most of the people, black people, who are going to really benefit and be able to rely upon Social Security as a financial understructure for retirement are people who did not start experiencing it until well in the late 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with a word you said. It's still people.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're trying to move the age up.
Right.
That's why they're trying to move the age up.
Just like you, I have on a huge extended family on my parents, both my parents' side, my mother and my father. Mother, one of 11. Father is one of 9. And really, if you take his extended, I hate the word step, but if you take his
mm-hmm.
His half brothers and sisters, that's in the teens. It's in the high teens.
Mm-hmm.
Last we checked. So and yeah, they run an economic gamut from being on assistance to almost the CEO of a major Fortune 50, as a matter of fact. So they run the gamut, and we still
mm-hmm.
have some people that absolutely they're working for cash and have
mm-hmm.
been,
mm-hmm.
and they're in regions of the country that you know that's not just acceptable, that's expected.
Mm-hmm. But there are many industries in this country who have taken advantage of. I'm sorry, I have a Reese's Pieces in my mouth.
That's all right. I'm getting my mouth
taken
with some pizza in a minute. That's all right.
I mean a Reese's peanut cup.
Mm-hmm.
But they have taken. There are many industries.
Mm-hmm.
Agribusiness is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about for a minute the hundreds of thousands of people down in South Florida who pick beans, pick oranges,
mm-hmm.
and they simply get on a truck in the morning.
Yeah.
They go work all day long. They don't know whose truck it is.
Mm-hmm.
They just get on the truck because at the end of the day, they may get $25.
Right, right.
Nobody's paying their Social Security taxes.
Mm-mm.
And because of the nature of that industry and the chemicals and products and hard back-breaking work that they do, they're going to sink us in terms of health care,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to sink us because nobody paid their share of Social Security taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, but it's a mess, and like I said, nobody's talking about it, and the bad thing about black folks is, like I said, we're just sheep being led to slaughter because if you try and speak up and say anything, then you're anti-us. It really is like they're anti-information or, you know,
mm-hmm.
anti-critical
mm-hmm.
thinking. And it's, you know, this is going to kill us. And like I posted in the chat room, just a matter of time, you know, once the 2012 hits, it's a week away.
Yep.
Or almost 2 weeks.
And House Music Lover, we're not even starting to talk about, forget about the tax cuts for the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tax cuts and tax credits are different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are part of the wealthy and you spend, say, $500,000 over a 10-year period investing in, I'll give you an example, affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that investment, not only are you getting the tax cuts, you're getting the tax credits, and not only are you getting that, you're getting the revenue from the government.
So you're saying that's who's buying up all these foreclosed houses that they pumped and dumped on us?
Absolutely. There's a reason
yeah.
for everything.
Hey,
right. House,
it's
I gotta go. We got somebody holding on.
All right, thanks
but,
a lot, Janice. Well, y'all take care.
You had your opportunity to be in here a long time ago. You got a lot of considerations that you've made, and you haven't made them too late.
Take care, Howard.
All right. Y'all take care. Have a good one.
Okay. You stay warm. 678, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for holding.
Hey, Janice. How you doing?
I'm
Alpha.
Fine. Who's this?
Oh, Henry.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Oh, is O. Henry from the ATL.
Yes, it's me.
Good to hear from you.
I've been listening. I'm just trying to gather my thoughts. It's been a rough 2 years or more so, I think, the past year or so has been a lot rougher because I'm listening to what you're saying about the various battles, and some of these battles probably should have been fought sooner. This was one as far as the taxes expiring because this was something that the president ran on, and maybe all assumed, as House mentioned, that he's going to let the extensions expire for the wealthy. What disturbs me so much is how do you constantly let, and I'm going to use the term enemies, because enemies are people who are against you, people who want to see, who want to defeat you, who want to see you destroyed. How do you constantly let your enemies frame the political argument without you getting out in front and putting information out there? You, in this case, the president put out the fact that persons were being held hostage in order to get this tax cut for the wealthiest 2%, and that was a fact, but that was never made a big deal of to me personally,
yeah,
that this is what was
yeah.
going on. And part of it might be because he was down with it all along as well. If so, that's fine. Say that. But I'm wondering, come this time next year, will people be praising him for this? People that formerly were putting him down and still doubting whether or not he's truly an American, still sending out the racist emails about chicken and watermelon at the White House. Well, those people suddenly have a change of heart and realize, well, you know what, hey, this guy's all right. I am going to vote for him. It's not going to happen. People that hate you hate you.
No, it's not. It's not, because I tell you, O. Henry, you're onto something here. I think that no matter what he does, that the bottom line is just what you have just said, that people are not going to get. And I want everybody to go on our front page and look at the picture that I chose to use of him tonight. It's even though it's a silhouette.
Right.
He's clearly black.
Right.
And when it all comes to it, that's what it is, and that's what it's about. And
well,
I think that there are some burning issues facing this country, some burning human rights issues, civil rights issues in this country that are going unattended to because this president has chosen to do his politics in the most difficult way.
Well, part of my issue here in this country, you've heard me say this over and over and over again. When I say we, I just mean as a group. I don't mean the individuals here because we're a little bit more informed than a lot of people are. We're only concerned about equal rights and civil rights when it affects us personally. We don't see
mm-hmm.
the violation of a person's civil rights when we tell them, well, because you're gay, you cannot serve in the military. We don't see that. Even whether or not we support what homosexuality is about, there are certain human rights, and that's supposedly what this country is founded on.
Mm-hmm.
We owe these truths
mm-hmm.
to be self-evident that all men are created equal. But if it's something we don't like, then we have a
that's
problem.
Right.
If it's a mosque, they're building up the street, I'm against it. They need to do what I do. But if someone says, okay, we're not going to call this a Christmas party, we're going to call it a holiday party, all of a sudden we're offended because they're offending my Christianity. I mentioned a story earlier this week of a woman in California, a school teacher, and she wanted to go over to Mecca for a Hajj. She asked for 2 weeks off unpaid leave. Her employer turned her down, I think, 2 or 3 times. And eventually she went to the EEOC, and she filed a complaint, which indeed she does have one, because by law, a person has the right to practice their religion in this country as long as it doesn't put an undue hardship upon their employer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you see the comments, well, she's a Muslim, she needs to do this, she needs to do that. I wonder if a Christian can get off. Yes, you can. You have something
that
has to do with your religion. You do have that. But what people don't understand how this country actually works. That's why they don't understand that. For 2 years, we've been held hostage in the Senate by 41 individuals who have voted lockstep, regardless of whether or not something was good or not. We'll vote against it because 2 years down the road is going to put us back in power.
That's right.
But it's
That's
all blame on the president. And in that
That's
case,
right.
it's not his fault. But at the same time, you know, there's certain things, there's certain tactics. When President Bush got elected, he was a Republican. And to be honest, he looked out for his political party first. I'm not saying he didn't put some things in place and say, well, okay, this is for Americans, blah, 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 or at least give the speech. We have a governor that we just elected here in Georgia. And, well, he had to get out of the Congress because he was got to come under ethics complaints. But he ran for governor here. He has financial problems. He's been on tape saying he's not quite sure where the president was born, you know, things like that. But he got elected easily here in this state of Georgia. We've had, I think, 5 or 6 Democrats who got elected in November switch parties since November, which I think is a travesty, too, because if you're going to run as a Democrat, be a Democrat for those 2 years. Don't switch parties, that's a politically expedient thing to do. But I'm going to watch how Georgia is run the next couple of years. And I know that what this governor is going to do is he's going to look out for his people first.
Yep.
And that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem to get that, that you look out for your base first. And, you know, there are things that he's done that have helped all Americans. But people don't understand all those things. You got to make it simple for them. Put it out there because we're not the sharpest guys in the drawer.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Henry, we got to run because we've
Thanks
got
so
only
much.
A few minutes.
But
you and your family have a good holiday.
You do the same. We'll miss you next Saturday, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to talk. That's why we need to go, because we need to talk about that.
Okay, see what you got going. And keep Alpha under control if you can. Just do your best.
You know, there's not much you can do with it.
I'm just going to turn on WGN any day now to see his face on him to say that he finally just took over Chicago.
I know.
Y'all have a great holiday.
Okay, thank you, O'Henry.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think we do have to think seriously about some of these issues, and we have to think about it through what I call the black truth of events. And the black truth is that we're really not thinking about it all. Alpha, you're going to be off next Sunday and the Sunday after. No, the Alpha show, or no, the Mo Alpha show. And I want to talk to the audience about what I am going to be doing here at Our Common Ground. On Sunday, December 26th, at Our Common Ground, we're going to be kicking off this Kwanzaa season. For those of you who would like to join us on Sunday evening at 10 p.m., right here on the 26th of December, we're going to be kicking off the Kwanzaa season. And we're also going to be making decisions about how we're going to handle the new policies at Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio has announced that they will no longer have free broadcasts, which includes a 2 hour, 2 hours and other features that we use here at Our Common Ground. And as you know, We have the TruthWorks Network, which, by the way, we're going to be loading up lots of stuff for during the holidays. Milana Koringa interviews, Kwanzaa celebrations starting on the 26th. But we will make decisions. I have not had a chance to talk with other blog talk broadcasters who do this kind of programming. We are a member of the Harambe, the Black Unity Broadcast Network, and we are also a member of the Black Talk Network. And there is going to be during the holiday season, or right after the holiday season, a big conference among Black activists who use radio as their platform. So we will figure out how we're going to do that. We want to wish all of you a very, very joyous holiday season. And hope that you and your families are able to come together and celebrate the holiday season together. And we certainly will be thinking of you all. Alpho, I'll miss you over the two-week period, and we wish you a very joyous, very restful holiday season.
Janice, to you and all of our loyal listeners, people in the chat room, I want to extend Merry Christmas from me and mine to you and yours. And may you all get what you want, get what you deserve, or get what you need. If you haven't been good, you won't.
Yes, a very, very Merry Christmas, a considerate Kwanzaa season, a commitment, a time for commitment and new harvest from all of us at Our Common Ground and TruthWorks Network. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we'll see you on December 26th. At 10 p.m. for our Kwanzaa celebration. Good night, all. To Our Common Ground with Janice Graham at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We do our best to speak truth to power and ourselves. We hope you'll join us each Saturday night, 10 p.m., right here in the Wild Wild West.